With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, February 18th. 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville.
Hello, everybody. Good morning to you.
And Jason Bishop.
Hey, what's up? Happy Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday, yes.
Believe EB returns on Thursday, taking a couple days off.
Ah.
Volleyball or lacrosse, he's chasing his kids all across the country playing
he's
sports.
He's a traveling
Let
man.
Let me just take a little extra Fickle. Shot of my five-hour energy. I am an endorser, by the way.
Yes, you are.
You always say you take a half shot. So if you take a half shot, is that 2.5 hour energy?
I guess. Well, yeah.
You're up to like the third
good
hour
math.
With a little extra.
A little, yeah, I'm in 2:45.
She'll be good till about 9 o'clock.
Hey, thanks for sharing. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all my five-hour energies I have.
I always offer, and you guys never want to take any, so I have more in my bag.
I don't know that there have been that many offers.
And I think the 5 hours sending a box to me.
Ah, very good.
Hopefully it's the size of this table.
It's a good thing to get samples from the sponsors that you endorse. It's a good
very
thing.
Nice.
Hey, Valdez, did they like my spots I recorded on Friday? Did you hear any response on
any
that?
Any feedback?
No feedback.
All right, so no feedback's good feedback.
Always.
All right.
Well, it's also the weekend.
I mean, how I look at it.
Yeah, but they got him on Friday.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they heard him on Friday.
All right.
Cakes, you didn't drive into work yesterday. You're aware it was President's
Day. I was aware that, yes, that we did have.
It finally dawned upon you.
Did have a 3-day weekend. I was well aware of that throughout the weekend.
Cakes went to the President's Day parade in Alexandria yesterday.
Yeah.
To celebrate.
There's nothing
George
I like
Washington.
More. Nothing I like more to do on a day off than to go to a parade.
I
it's
heard
the
he's
best.
A big Harry Truman fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Calvin Coolidge.
Right.
Yeah, I just love all the presidents. Love them all.
By the way, after I said Harry Truman, I started to doubt whether he's a president or
yeah.
not.
Yeah, Calvin Coolidge, 90% sure he's a president.
I think Harry Truman was.
It sounds right.
Locke Harry Truman is.
Pretty confident.
Eisenhower, Mortal
yes.
Locke.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I just had a
both Roosevelts.
Doubt.
Yes.
Of course.
Lock them in.
I should mention on the program today, we'll get a little skinny from Cakes. He was busy this weekend at MGM National Harbor as the poker ambassador during their main event. So we'll get some skinny. Coming up at 6:45, I kind of know what happened. Jason doesn't, so it's going to be a bit of a surprise for Jason Bishop.
I kind of know.
Now you know, but
I just
you don't
know
the
how
details.
Much, I don't know how much he won, but I know he won
if
something.
I won. Who knows if I won?
Yeah, so we'll get into that coming up at 6:45. Alan May is going to join us later in the show, and I think we really need to tackle the Caps. He's going to join us. Of course, he's a Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at 8:20. The Caps have lost 6 out of their last 10. That's not a good trend. I saw somebody tweet us this morning. They're only 1 point out of fourth place.
I know.
Remember they had the best record?
Remember they
it
had
wasn't
a,
even close?
Remember they were the best team in hockey?
Yeah, I remember.
For about,
sure.
I don't know, 3 months? Well, now they're maybe the 6th or 7th best team in hockey?
Yeah, it's. I think over their last 20 games, they're basically a 500 club.
If that. They might not even be 6 or 7.
So we'll get into that later in the show. Maybe take some calls from Caps fans. Are you panicking yet? Are you somewhat worried or you think it's no big deal? You still have, 20-plus games to right the ship, and then it's all about the playoffs anyway. So we'll get into that, but I guess we should lead off with the Daytona 500. I was telling the guys, it certainly wasn't the Daytona 500 for me on my way to and from Summit, New Jersey this weekend.
Right.
You think you're making good time. My brother told me on the way back, he was like, 3 hours and 23 minutes. He's looking at his phone. He's like, 3 hours and 23 minutes. I left around 11:45 from Summit, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And landed at my mom's place.
Is that considered Central Jersey or is that Northern Jersey?
I think it's Northern.
So it's right outside the city.
It's about 40 minutes to the city.
Okay.
It's not that far from the
city. I would go
Southwest.
I would go central to north central New Jersey. I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't be able to find it on a map.
All right. So 3:23 is what he said it would take.
3 hours, 23 minutes. He's like, oh, you get to my mom's house. So I have to, because I drop off my mom at Bowie, then I have to drive to Gaithersburg.
Now, this is on us. Was this yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay, yesterday.
Yesterday. Flying through New Jersey. Just everything's good on the New Jersey Turnpike.
What's the speed limit? End. What's the speed limit on the turn? Is it 70?
No, I think it's like 65.
I don't know what the
generally
speed limit
like 65.
Is. I know what I drive.
Yeah. Right.
He's driving like the guys were driving the last 10 laps of the Daytona.
But I'm not the only one.
Sure, of course.
It's not like I'm
yeah, I'm going to guess. Here's what you're driving.
I stay in my lane. I don't go in and out of traffic.
No, you're probably cruising in the right lane at about between 75 and 80.
Yes.
Somewhere in that
yes.
healthy clip.
I would say that that's the average speed.
And then you got some crazies in the left lane going like 90 who are just they want to get pulled over by the cops.
Are there tractor trailers that stay in the left lane on the turnpike?
There are tractor trailers all over the place, although I think it's the New Jersey Turnpike. At least at the beginning, they offer you choices. It says four cars. So you can get in just the four cars, two lanes.
Right, so the trucks have to stay to the right.
Yes.
Or supposed to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys can just...
Correct.
It's essentially an express lane.
Yeah.
So
all I know is this. And I went to Temple for law school, and I used to drive from Maryland to Philadelphia all the time, and I used to navigate some of these roads. Not New Jersey Turnpike. But Delaware sucks.
Delaware stinks.
And it actually wasn't Delaware's problem this time, but it was tickling Delaware on both sides.
Okay.
On the way to New Jersey, once you get over that Millard Tidings Bridge.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
No. You're thinking of the Delaware
Memorial.
The Dell Memorial Bridge.
No. Before I get to Delaware.
Oh, yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Maryland,
like your last big bridge in Maryland, and you're about to get into Delaware.
You're driving to, like, Perryville.
Yes.
Yes, I know exactly where you're talking about.
I go over the bridge. I'm flying, you know, I'm fine. You know, first 55, 60 miles in an hour, which is good, because I start in Bowie with lights and stuff like that going down 301. And then all of a sudden, woof. Just stop. And I hit all the apps. Apparently, they shut down, not one, not two. They shut down every lane on 95.
Wow.
And once you get off the bridge, the only detour is the next exit.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's getting over to the next exit, which is in God knows where in Maryland.
Yeah.
But it took an hour to go a mile.
Tilt and City.
Next thing you know, I'm bouncing out of Rising Sun, Maryland.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the trip is fine.
Yeah.
But it was an hour lost.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then on the way back, same thing, kind of flowing. And again, it wasn't Delaware.
Right. But it was on the verge of Delaware.
Right before Delaware, the last bit of the New Jersey Turnpike, they just close all the lanes down to one.
Hurts.
And so there's this huge bottleneck for like 25 miles because they had supposedly road work.
Okay.
Right, construction.
And the most mind-numbing thing is... You don't see any workers.
Right.
All you see
are these
barrels and cones taking it down to one lane.
No guys in orange vests.
I would feel okay.
Well, why would they be working? It's President's Day.
I would feel okay if I saw a lot of construction workers. And they're fixing the road.
Here's
the
when they're
time.
Working. Today. They're chilling at home. They've got everything set up for the work today, but they're off on President's Day, just like you were and he was and I was.
So my brother says 3 hours and 23 minutes.
Took you five and a half.
If I left... Some at 11:45, that would get me to Bowie, you know, let's say 3:30-ish. Just bump it up to 3:30.
Yeah.
Hit the driveway at 5:09.
Yeah, it hurts.
You know, and then got home. Like, so I didn't see the Daytona 500. I heard about it.
Well, I actually started to watch it on Sunday when it was supposed to be on.
Right.
And there was a million rain delays.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they're all ready. Then they start to – the pace car is going.
Yeah.
Some professional wrestler was driving a pace car.
I don't know. I didn't watch any of that.
And they're getting ready to go, and all of a sudden, a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
They had to shut it down.
Yeah, you can't run that race even with a little sprinkle.
When they're going
100.
With
Jeremy Sprinkle was there.
It was,
when they're driving 198, and there's this much room between each bumper, you can't have the Jeremy Sprinkle on the track. It's bad.
So what Fox does is they start talking to all the drivers. All the drivers pull over, get out of their cars, and they park.
You watched a lot of it.
Well, it was back and forth.
Okay.
It was back and forth. I was watching Gaff.
Of course.
But so they just start doing interviews with all these guys, and then they shut it down. So then they get back in the cars. The sun came out, dried the track. They get back in the car, start going again. The pace car gets back out there. Then another downpour.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another delay.
Because it never rains in Florida.
So eventually, right. So eventually they said, all right, it's finished. We're going to move it to Monday. And then I didn't watch it at all.
Right. Well, I watched.
But I couldn't believe the wreck. than Ryan Newman. I couldn't believe he walked away from that.
Well, even before the massive pileup, you know, in these super speedway races, if one car gets involved, then, you know, 20 other cars just smash into him. And that happened, I think, with about 20 laps to go, where literally half of the field was wiped out because of the crash. Because Joey Logano was in such a rush to get to the front, he rammed somebody into the wall, and then everybody started crashing.
I saw Joe Gibbs caught some kind of social media negative reaction because he was celebrating the win while Ryan Newman was near his deathbed.
He also walked it back, too, afterwards and said, look, we're praying for him and his recovery, and it's awful. And Hamlin also was very, you know, apologetic.
I can't believe Hamlin
because
had
he didn't realize. I guess once you cross the finish line, those guys like turn their radios off. The confetti comes down. The celebration starts. You're doing donuts on the infield, the whole nine. But yeah, that Ryan Newman crash, like that, you can walk away from that and not just be dead inside that crumpled mess is a testament to, I guess, how safe those vehicles have become. Because
he
smashed into the wall.
It blew up.
Smashed into the wall. Yeah. Goes airborne. Catches fire. And then is skidding for, I don't know, 1,000+ feet.
200 miles an hour.
Unbelievable.
I know. And he's in serious condition, but non-life-threatening, correct?
That was
the latest report.
That was the latest, but how could it not be life-threatening when your car that you're traveling in at 200 miles per hour goes through that sort of trauma? I mean,
well, apparently he's
ridiculous.
Done it several times. I'm looking at the history of Ryan Newman. Says he's escaped several scary wrecks at Daytona and Talladega over the years. His car went airborne, flipped repeatedly, and landed on its roof in the 2003 Daytona 500. He had a similar crash landing at Talladega in 2009. His latest crash, which was with Austin Dillon's memorable catch into the catch fence on the final lap of the July race in 2015 at Daytona, he went airborne, tore down part of the fence, and injured several fans.
Mm.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air goes Newman.
Upside down.
Wow.
In a shower of sparks on his roof, Ryan Newman comes across the line fourth. Newman got turned, went up in the air. As he came down, was hit by another car and launched skyward. Coming down on his roof. A fist pump from Denny Hamlin, who has won the Daytona 500 for the second year in a row.
So, did he just say that Newman finished fourth?
Yes.
So he finished fourth, and even
I guess
though he was
slid across the finish line.
He was on his roof.
Yeah.
What happened about 100 yards before the finish line?
That's incredible.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
I knew it was the final lap, but I didn't know how close it was to the finish line. Wow. Hey, he finished fourth. That's pretty good.
Finish fourth is great, but you don't want to do it while your car's on fire.
Now, I know no one in here knows the answer.
Okay, but
ask. I'm going to throw it in. I'm really just throwing it out to the listeners.
All right.
Did they change the restrictor plates rule in NASCAR?
Again, you would have to ask the listeners.
I thought they did last year.
Sneak in a phone call, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the Daytona 500. Back in the day, we actually had a NASCAR fantasy league.
It was short-lived. I believe it was one season we did it. And it probably fizzled out within the first month.
I was going to say, no one got paid in that.
No chance. Let's go to Justin in York, Pennsylvania. What's up, Justin? You're on with Jokes. Good morning.
Lurch, to answer your question, yes, they did change the restrictor plate rule. They actually got rid of the restrictor plates, and they actually went to a different-sized carburetor.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Justin. Let me ask you this. Are the speeds still maxed out at where they were when they had the restrictor plates?
Yes, they are.
All right, okay.
So what I also wanted to say to you guys is that the big one that you saw, I don't know who all watched it, but the big one that you saw with Logano and all of them usually happens at least once per super speedway race.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
NASCAR has implemented different things on car, like the roof flaps, the hood flaps, to try and prevent these cars from getting airborne.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work. As you saw with what happened yesterday, Ryan Blaney, who was pushing Ryan Newman to the checkered flag, what happened was is that the air came under the rear bumper of Newman's car and Blaney pushed him, and he got loose, and that's when he went into the wall. Once he went into the wall, the sudden stopping of hitting that soft wall is what produced Ryan to go airborne. And then what made it worse is that he came down right in front of Corey LaJoie, who had nowhere to go, and he T-boned him right on the driver's side.
Oh,
okay. Now, most NASCAR cars do not have windows on the driver's side. All they have is a window net. So where he hit, where Corey LaJoie hit Ryan Newman, was on right on the driver's side. They've got protective foam in there along with the roll cage. But the problem was is that the way he landed, the roof collapsed at that point, and that's what took them so long. And NASCAR, ever since Earnhardt's death in 2001, has tried to take their time regarding any kind of injury to make sure that they get it right.
Right, right.
Especially with all the false news and all the fake media out there anymore.
So what's the most serious injury, have you heard, to Newman? Do you know what it is?
No. Okay. No, I have not. I'm a fan like you guys. You guys are sports fans. I'm a fan like you. I've been trying to, you know, check in on everything. But as of right now, the only statement that's been put out is that the one that was officially done by Steve O'Donnell last night.
Yeah, they just say serious condition, all which right, is less serious than critical condition.
Right, right.
Right. Seems stable.
Right.
But they haven't released any details that I've seen.
So now I'm looking at the official results. He finished
ninth.
Thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate the call,
he
man.
He was not given a fourth place finish. Reagan was. So he finished ninth officially.
Top 10. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know why. So, yeah, scary moment last night in Daytona. Crazy, man. Crazy finish.
All right, if you want to chime in again, the phone number is always 800-636-1067. You can always text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Same number, standard message, and data charges may apply. And you can tweet us at Junks Radio. We're coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Can I just vent for another second about my trip?
Yeah, please. Please do. We got JP, look at the clock. What does the clock say right now?
6:24.
I mean, we're on the air till 10. All we have is time. Time. Just eternal time.
This is just a general observation about a lot of places.
Okay.
But in particular, on my trip yesterday, when we stopped, I think it was the Chesapeake House.
Okay.
I sometimes get confused between the Chesapeake and the Maryland House.
Is there a plaque of Matt Valdez right as you walk in?
No, there's no plaque of Matt Valdez. It's the one where they actually have a bunch of recliners where you can sit for massages.
Sure.
Understaffed. I've seen a lot of places that are understaffed.
Sure.
Like when you go to a fast food establishment and it takes longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It should never take longer than 10 minutes for fast food.
Inexcusable.
And so those are understaffed places.
Yeah.
And this place yesterday, I couldn't believe it. So the options there
Let me hear the options.
A sandwich place. I think it's called like House of Earl or
Earl of Sandwich, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
Earl's
about.
Earl's in the mix.
Yeah.
So you get your sandwich spot.
Okay.
You have Wendy's.
Okay, solid.
And you have a KFC Pizza Hut.
All right.
And you
combo.
Have an Auntie Anne's.
Kind
of all in a row.
It's pretty good lineup.
So I dropped off my mom, who has a little difficulty walking, and my crew right there to go in, and they immediately went to the bathroom area.
Okay, sure.
Okay? We had been in the car for roughly 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, fine. I park my car in the regular spots. walk in, and I figured they were going to go to Wendy's.
Yes.
I kind of wanted some KFC.
All right.
So I got in the KFC line.
All right.
I didn't move for like 10 minutes.
Understaffed.
They come again? Out, and I was like, you know what? Let me just make the move over to Wendy's.
Okay.
It took probably 20 minutes just to get food from Wendy's.
Yeah. Again, there's a, first of all, you have to take into account.
They had three people working, Cakes.
It's on
three.
It's
they
on
had
the,
a guy at the cash
understand,
cash register.
They're understaffed.
You've been a manager before.
Yes.
At retail establishments.
I have, yes.
They had basically one lady working the fries, look like, and one other person just making the burgers.
Yeah, like a line cook.
Right. Three people.
Yeah, probably need more.
I'm sorry, you're understaffed.
And it's also on the busiest road in the country.
Yes.
I mean, it's right off 95. It couldn't be busier. Like, you know you're going to have the business coming in. Especially is it around lunchtime, dinner time?
It was
peak
late
time?
Lunch because we left around 11:45.
You know what?
It was like close to 3 o'clock.
The standard like dining patterns probably don't even exist for a place like that. People are just coming in all the time because they're traveling all the time on 95.
Yeah.
Up and down the Eastern Corridor. There's just a billion people.
They're understaffed because who wants to work at a KFC or a Wendy's off of 95
not
at
that
a
many,
Chesapeake House?
Not that many people.
Correct. That's
but
the
even
reason.
Yeah. The gift shop area where they sell candy bars and things like that, there was a line of 9 people.
Overpriced candy bars.
How can they have a line of 9 people there?
Because here's why. Because they're getting paid by the hour. They're not getting paid by the transaction.
Yeah.
You think
they're slackers.
They're in a rush?
They're slackers.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they're in a rush to get you on where you need to go?
Oh,
probably
and by
not.
The way, and we all know this, so overpriced. So
Of course.
Family of four, plus my mom makes 5 at Wendy's.
Yeah.
Basic fare that we ordered.
Right.
What do you think it cost?
For how many people?
5.
You definitely paid like $60.
Oh, it wasn't quite that high. 45
50,
bucks.
Something in that range.
Mm. I didn't get anything extravagant.
Dude, on the way back.
We got combo meals.
I stopped at a similar place, got an iced coffee on the way back from Jersey, from Atlantic City last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
An iced coffee, which is costing them with the cup and the coffee, maybe 50 cents. I paid like $6.80.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even at a Starbucks. It was like at Pete's Coffee.
Right.
I mean, it's like just some random guy named Pete pouring coffee.
You know,
but that's Pete.
There's a guy.
Pete's Coffee had a backup there.
There's
too.
A guy who's a member at Creighton Farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Country Club.
Yes.
Out in Aldi.
It's very foofy.
All right.
I've only driven by it.
His house, I think, is on, let's just call it the 13th, 14th hole, right?
Okay,
It's the size of the White House.
Right.
All right. And
it's
I
massive.
Was asking the member that I was playing with, what do these people do? Where does
right.
the money come from?
Yeah.
This guy
mm-hmm.
owns every rest stop from Richmond to Maine.
Oh, that's quite a stretch of road.
Right. I mean, he owns them all.
Well, from Richmond.
He just owns, I guess he owns the land, and then he... I thought the states or the counties own the land. Apparently, they're individually owned. This guy owns the land, and he just rents out to the Wendy's.
Beautiful.
And the, you know, like,
it's beautiful.
He owns all of them. His house was probably 20,000 square feet.
So from Richmond to Maine, I'm going to guess the mileage there is roughly, I mean, I don't know. That's more than half of 95.
Yeah.
That says probably, he owns
like
1,800 miles
I was gonna say 2,000 miles. Yeah.
Of that strip.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He just owns it all.
Yeah, good for
owns
him.
Owns all of 95.
Just
it's a great business
money.
To get into because there really aren't any options. I actually tried an option on one of the ways where you don't want to stop at the rest stop because everybody's stopping at the rest stop.
Right.
And you see a sign for, you know, McDonald's or whatever. And you pull over in some godforsaken town.
Yeah.
They always get you, though. They never tell you how far away it is.
Correct.
And so I actually pulled over in Maryland, and I'm driving like a mile. I was like, I'm not going to stop at the Chesapeake House or Maryland House.
Right.
I know that we have to stop. I saw the sign for McDonald's. I pulled over, and then I'm driving, and I'm like, where is it? You can't see it on the horizon.
It's like a mile away.
No, it's not a mile away. And then I put it in the navigation, and it was back in Delaware. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm doing a U-turn. I'm not crossing back into Delaware. I'm in the state of Maryland. I'm not going back to Delaware to go to a McDonald's. We're going to just suck it up and do the Chesapeake House.
That is the ace up their sleeve that the Maryland and Chesapeake Houses have is that you get in and then you're right back on the road.
Right.
You don't have to drive 2 miles and take a left turn and then come back. It's the convenience. That's where they get you.
Yeah, so your boy at Creighton Farm, I mean, I tried to avoid the rest stops, but it makes no sense to avoid the rest stops.
Yeah, people can't. Most people are there. Would you backtrack
into Delaware?
No, of course not. Of course not. You go for the convenience.
So you were talking about the stoppage on the turnpike on the way back. I went down to Blacksburg on Saturday morning to go visit my daughter for the night. We went to the Virginia Tech Pitt game on Saturday night.
If you don't stop, how far is it from door to door?
By the way, I got to thank Matt. His name's Matt Goff.
Okay. Goff?
Goff. Like G-O-F-F.
Like Angie Goff?
Yeah. Gino would pronounce it Goff.
Okay.
I pronounce it Goff.
Okay.
But thank you, Matt, for the tickets. Had really good seats. He works in the SID department at Tech.
Okay. Baller.
We had really good seats.
It's a nice hookup.
Pitt's terrible, by the way. Yeah. Anyway. Is it
Jeff Capel?
Capel.
Is he the coach?
Yeah. And his brother Jason's also on the staff.
Ah, good.
And Jeff Capel gets so bitter at how bad his team is. I just watched Jeff Capel's face the entire game because there were so many mistakes and missed free throws and turnovers. Oh, they were just bad.
But did you do a bit?
I can't believe they beat Florida
State. Did you do a bit where you stood up and like, you're not a Duke anymore, Capel? You did one of those bits?
The only standing up I did was when I left.
Okay. What would it be door to door from your house if you did no stops? Like my brother told me door to door summit to my mom's 3 hours 23.
I don't know. Depends on how fast you're going. But my point is, on the way down, 81 is one of the worst roads in America. I think it's the worst.
Over under on tractor trailers on your trip is 296. I'm taking the over.
I'd go way over every time. And the tractor trailers who drive in the left lane, way over 296.
Right.
Bunch of robbers.
Yeah. And they stay there until they have enough room to get past the other tractor trailer.
Right.
But it could take 8 miles to do that. Because they just can't move.
Yeah.
Especially going up hills, it takes them forever.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're driving through, I don't know, I can't remember what county it was. It was like Woodstock, Virginia.
Okay.
And then we see a sign. All lanes blocked, mile marker 278. We were like on 294.
Okay.
I said, oh, geez. So I asked my wife to get on the Waze and find out how long it's going to last. She goes, oh, yep, all red.
Right.
Jesus H.
It sucks when you have no options, too. There are no detours.
No detours. Well, I didn't know there was a detour until I asked a trucker. So we were stopped, right? Everyone kind of turns off their cars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a trucker right next to me. And I had him roll down the window. I said, have you talked to anybody up front where there was a car fire up there?
Right.
He goes, no.
Barbecue.
He goes, some people are turning backwards and taking the Woodstock exit and going down the side roads. I said, all right, I'm going to grasp. So I turned around on 81, went 81 north for about another couple miles, got off on the Woodstock exit, and went through.
Say hi to Jimi Hendrix.
Right. Woodstock. And it was
such an old joke.
A couple other small towns. It ended up saving me probably, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes.
That's good.
Right?
Winning move.
I went 6.5 miles, 7 miles through these towns and bypassed the accident.
So many general stores you probably passed.
By the way, when you go through those towns?
I mean, I just ask myself, what do they do?
Right. How do you make a living here?
How do you make a living? What do you do on the weekends? Where do you go? Where do you get your groceries?
Right.
What do you do?
Yeah, when I went through...
I would be bored to death.
When I went through the part of Maryland on the detour on the way to New Jersey, my sense said, are we in Mississippi?
Yeah. Right.
It's just like a bunch of farms. And
yeah.
I'm just thinking, yes. It's not even what do you do for a living. It's what do you do for fun out there?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You're not close to anything.
By the way...
I guess you would go to a...
I would take the over
game.
On the tractor trailers over 296.
Yeah.
But I would go way over 296 in terms of the amount of cows I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in the cow towns.
If you combined cows and truckers, it's in the thousands. Cows and horses and truckers in the thousands. Anyway, so on the way back on Sunday, we got on the road relatively early. And usually if I drive, you know, my normal speed between 75 and 80.
Yeah.
I get back to Ashburn by, I don't know, 3:45. Might take me 3 hours, 45 minutes.
If you leave at what time?
Whatever. I mean, whenever. 10 o'clock.
Okay.
You know. So we got on the road around 10 o'clock, and I think I set a world record. I got, and I found myself going at one stretch, 93 miles an hour.
Strong.
That's very fast.
If you get caught,
it's not speedy if you're not caught.
If you're going 93 and get pulled over by a statey.
Yeah.
On 81.
You're getting arrested?
You're going to jail.
You get arrested on the spot.
Oh, yeah. You're going to jail.
But you didn't care. You were gambling.
I did that for a few miles.
Yeah.
There's certain stretches where you know you can kind of just go.
Right.
And then there's other stretches where you know they might be hiding out.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself going 93 at one stretch. But anyway, I got back in 3 hours 18 minutes.
That's strong.
That deserves a clap.
So there definitely wasn't a stop.
I want to know if anybody's beaten 3 hours, 18 minutes from Blacksburg to Ashburn.
Ooh, that's impressive.
If you have, give me a call. Tell me how fast
it was. That's an impressive run by you.
I mean, I was hovering 80 to 82 the whole time until the track.
Here's another old reference. It's Dom DeLuise in the
yes,
shotgun.
Dom DeLuise, yes. It's Cannonball Run. Yeah.
With Burt Reynolds.
Man, I'm trending old today.
Joe Theismann.
Yeah, Joe Theismann, I believe, in the mix there, too.
Anyway, so that was my story for
very good.
Getting back from Blacksburg.
Impressive run by you.
3 hours, 18 minutes. My wife said, there's no chance you could do it. I said, all right, here we go. Challenge.
She challenged you. She threw down the gauntlet.
Yep.
How about you, Cakes? How long door-to-door from Olney to MGM National Harbor?
Well, I did that trip twice over the weekend. Door-to-door, it's probably, non-work traffic, it's about 55 minutes.
Yeah, not too bad.
Not bad. I'll tell you this. When you leave at 2:30 in the morning, it takes you about 35 minutes.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it looks like The Walking Dead. Like, the zombies came and ate everybody. Right. And you're just driving on an empty road.
Ambo, why didn't you get the room if you're there till 2:30?
It's a good point. I wasn't really planning on being there that late, JP. But I wound up being there pretty late.
Well, all right. You could afford it.
I'm guessing
you made about 4 mortgage payments.
Why don't you give us the update when we come back?
We'll find out
what happened with Cakes. At the main event at MGM National Harbor, the Poker Open, this weekend. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page. We can get into the NBA All-Star Game, which was somewhat interesting with the new format, the All-Star Dunk Contest.
I want to get into the All-Star Weekend. I want to talk about XFL Week 2. We certainly got to get into the Astros debacle. There's more stuff happened over the weekend. Yeah, there's a lot to get into.
So we'll get into that coming up at 7 o'clock.
Terps, huge win against Michigan State.
But coming up next, we'll get some skinny on Cakes at MGM National Harbor over the weekend. Don't go anywhere.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Got a lot to get into on the program. We'll open up the Junkie Sports page at 7. We can talk Astros, Terps, NBA, and more.
Want
to get into the Caps. I'm wondering whether Caps fans are hitting that panic button yet. You have to be somewhat concerned, I would believe. Maybe there are some that aren't concerned at all, but they've lost 6 out of their last 10. You know, we talked a lot about Holtby versus Samsonov. Maybe it doesn't matter. They got to get the defense right.
Defense has some issues.
So we'll get into that coming up at 7:20. But Cakes was at MGM National Harbor a lot over the past week.
I was, yes.
I believe you played in 3 different events?
3 events for the 2020 Potomac Winter Poker Open. And I spent the majority of my long weekend playing in the main event, which started on Saturday.
What makes it the main event versus the other event?
The higher buy-in.
Okay.
3K buy-in.
Ooh.
500K guaranteed event. It was a huge success. So that means they have to pay 500K out no matter how many people show up.
How many people do you know entered?
Well, the prize pool got a little bit swole to $781,000, 294 entries. So almost 300 people showed up for the main event.
It's a lot of people.
And I was one of them. I was in the mix.
Yep.
And as the poker ambassador, I was, how should I say this? I was part of my deal to be in this event.
Did you have to stand up and do an introduction?
No, I don't do any of that.
Oh, okay.
I just show up. I shake a few hands.
Sit down with the free buy-in.
Sit down with the free roll.
Take some pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
beanie.
I wear some MGM gear, though mm-hmm. I didn't do that on day two. That was kind of stupid. Spoiler alert, I made it to day two out of Saturday. So Saturday, I sit down, and I like to, you know, hype up the fact that, look, poker's a game of skill. It's not luck. There's a little bit of luck involved, but game of skill. That's the way it's...
It's a math game.
Present it.
Probability.
I'm a man of science and numbers and math. That's just what I am. I'm a learned man. So actually about 3 hours into the tournament, I should have been bounced because I overplayed my pocket tens. And a guy trapped me with pocket queens.
He just
full on trapped me.
Right.
I got all my chips in.
And you got hooked.
He trapped me. Like Teddy KGB likes to say.
He saw you playing with your Oreo cookie.
All that. So I'm trapped. He's got queens. I got tens. I turned a 10, so I got butt lucky and stayed in the tournament.
Did you bounce
Otherwise,
him?
I did not bounce
okay,
him.
Okay, so he still had some chips left.
So I grind my way to day two. That was the biggest landmine that I faced in day one. I got hooked. I got lucky.
You say you grinded your way, does that mean you're mostly staying out of hands?
Well, with the main event, the levels are long. You can be more patient. Your chip stack isn't dwindling in the first like four or five levels. I think the first day levels are like 45 minutes long.
Mm.
So yeah, there's a lot of play and you have 50,000 in chips. So you got a lot to play with. So even if you get bamboozled early and get your chip stack cut in half, you can battle back.
So this isn't like the Junkies Poker Open where at a certain point,
right, trying to get
after
people out
three
of
or four hours, people are getting out of their chairs right every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't devolve into a shove fest because this is a multi-day event. So all you want to do is get a bag to come back for the second day.
Play the long game. So how long do you play on Saturday?
Well, Saturday I think I started at noon.
Okay.
And I think we wrapped up around 11 p.m., 11:30 that night.
Man,
or maybe even midnight.
So, and how long are your breaks? So out of 11 and a half hours, roughly.
Yeah.
Are you playing poker 11 of them?
You probably get like 3 or 4 15-minute breaks thrown in there, and you get a dinner break, like a 45-minute or an hour dinner break.
Okay.
So I mean, it's an all-day poker palooza.
Right.
Like you're just in the ballroom, just grinding and just trying to avoid, you know, guys flopping sets on you.
How many players is it cut down to for day two?
Roughly.
Is it half?
Oh, I think the field's more than cut in half.
How many celebrities do you see? Because you mentioned the Fossil Man was there.
It brings out the big boys. A 3K buy-in, 500K guarantee. By the time, you know, that all the entries are in, there's 189K up top for the winner. I mean, that's a pretty good score. $190,000 goes to the winner.
Yep.
So it brings out the big boys. Greg Raymer, 2004 main event winner. Fossil Man, he was there. I was he sat down at my table for like the last 2 hours of the first day.
Let me
just reminisce
you this
about Junk's TV.
No, I
played like Go Fish.
Let me ask you
did
this.
That.
Did Greg Raymer cash?
He did not cash.
Okay.
He did not make it. So Greg Raymer's there. Joe McKeon, now this is for poker nerds. He's got $16.5 million in live earnings. He won the main event in 2015.
Wow, that's crazy.
Big name.
Did he cash?
He cashed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Darren Elias, who's won like the WPT four times and has $7.5 million in all-time earnings. He was there. He was at my table late on day two.
And did he cash?
He did not cash.
All right. You
he
also got knocked said out. Jeff McCauley was there.
Half of Ashburn.
All my Ashburn boys.
Half of the population of Ashburn was at MGM National Harbor playing in the main.
There are a bunch of poker DJs.
It was good to
Ashburn.
See those guys. Those guys, you know, I was talking with them like during breaks.
They still have home games. They have actually have a league.
Yeah.
They have a poker league.
I talked to Gurry for a little bit.
Gurry.
I saw Yak, the artist formerly known as Sports Yak. He was in a different tournament at the time. He wasn't playing the main. So all those dudes are there. But it's bringing out like poker luminaries, this event. So I make it to day two. I bag 141K in chips.
Mm-hmm.
Chips. And that's probably about 50K below the average stack heading into day two. But you know what? I was just happy to make it to advance. Mm-hmm. So I come in with about 25 to 28 big blinds. That's kind of how you measure however many chips you have, because as your blinds start to dwindle, your options start to dwindle. Like if you get down to like 10 big blinds, you're like, I'm just getting 10 in here, shoving and hoping he gets through.
Right.
So like in the first hour of day two, I'm cut down to about 100K. And then with the blinds going up, I'm in shove mode at that point. I actually talked to my kids. I was like, you guys want sushi? Because I might be coming home early. Give me your order. I'll get the sushi. I'll bring it home. I thought I was going to be bounced out around 6 or 7 o'clock.
What are the big blinds at this point?
At this point, the blinds are probably like 3,000, 6,000 with the 6,000 big blind ante.
Right.
So every time the blinds come around, at that point, you're giving up, what's that, 12 plus 3? You're
15.
Getting about 15 grand out of your stack. Right. My stack is not that big at this point.
Right.
So I got 100K. I start shoving. Couple hands. Shove. They get through. I survive a little
now,
bit.
Now, are people calling you on the shoves? Or are you just beating them?
No, they're just folding. They're folding.
All right.
So now we're
getting, taking everyone's ante.
Now a few hours pass, grinding a little bit more, starting to get close to the money, getting close to the money bubble. And now I'm kind of turtling a little bit because I'm like, I don't want to play all this
just
time.
Sort of hold on.
And not and be the bubble boy and get busted. That is the worst. Cause I've played poker now for 12 hours day one, about 21 basically hours
Doesn't
of playing
your ass
poker.
Just hurt.
Yeah, I'm getting up. I'm walking around the table. I'm old at this point. I'm just trying to keep the blood flowing, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you must just hurt. Yeah.
So we're at the bubble. It's about 40 players left. And then you can just tell everybody's just super tight as a drum. Everybody wants to make the money because the min cash is 5K.
All right,
min cash is 5 grand.
All right, what do you have?
Five grand.
40 people left.
Yeah.
And what are they paying? Top 10%.
Paying 30.
All right, so there's
40
top,
left.
Right, so top 30.
So everybody's super tight.
But are you thinking beyond that the top prize is?
I'm thinking about that, but my focus right now is just getting to the cash.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm sitting at the table. I'm here and sitting to my right in that chair, in the Bickle chair. That's Joe McKeon. That's a guy who's 16 million in live earnings.
He's won the main event before.
And all he does when I'm doing this tight and everybody else is tight is he's stealing from everybody because he knows all these donks for the most part.
They're afraid of him.
They're tight.
Because they all know who he is.
Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to make the money. He doesn't care about the money because he's got 16 million in live earnings. He couldn't care less about a 5K min cash.
Yeah.
I'm desperate. For a 5K min cash. Desperate.
Well, you just want to make it worth your while.
I want to be, exactly. I don't want to play all this poker and have nothing to show
Believe
for
me, 5,000 to this guy is about 30 cents.
No, please.
You just want to make
I just
make
want to make the money.
While.
I want something tangible.
A day and
at
a half,
end.
You want to make something for
want
your
want something tangible.
So
at
you
the
take
end.
Him on. I would take him on then.
Didn't take him. I let him steal. Just steal away. Steal away. And he was doing it from everybody. So he's there.
You let him rob you, Dupree you?
He robbed me a lot. Right. And I wasn't the only one.
No one gets that, by the way.
So the bubble finally bursts. We get to 30. People, you know, start clapping because everybody's in the money at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can open it up a little bit. Now you can get a little friskier.
So now there's just three tables left. You're
three
one of the final
left.
Three tables.
One of the final 30. So I'm in the money.
All right. You got at least 5K coming to you.
Yeah.
Are you getting any silly cards?
At this point, like I think I have about 400K in chips, roughly, but the blinds are going up. So it seems like a lot, but it's not a lot. It's not a ton. So I get king, queen of spades dealt to me. I looked at it, looked pretty good, shipped it in.
Mm-hmm.
Guy to my left re-raises. That means that's bad news because now he's isolating me because he's got a silly hand.
Right.
Everybody else folds. He's got jacks. I have king, queen of spades.
Wow. Okay.
And he has a massive stack already.
Say, yeah, the kings or aces, but he had jacks.
He has a huge stack, and he sees my relatively piddly stack, and he says, I'm going to get that. He's got a good hand.
Yeah, but you just need to catch one card.
All I need is to catch one card or spades.
Right.
Right in the window. King. Bam.
All right. So hold on. So everyone else folds?
It's everybody else folds. Heads, just up. Heads up.
All right.
So that's a big score for me. Builds my stack. Then I get moved to another table about 5 minutes.
All right, so you win that
10 minutes
with
later.
Kings.
I won that with a king.
Okay, got you.
Then I get sat next to a massive stack.
Right.
Massive. His stack is five times my stack. But he starts like bleeding his stack away because he's attacking all the smaller stacks like mine,
sure,
and trying to knock people out. He loses, I believe, five straight all ins.
Wow.
His stack starts just dwindling down. And I keep looking at the pay board, and at this point, there's like 27 people. I look up at it half an hour later, there's like 16 people.
So now turtle mode is helping you.
I keep seeing the pay jumps, and I'm like, I'm gonna play pretty tight, but if I get a hand, I'm gonna be aggressive. So we get down to about,
because every guy who gets bounced, you're probably making another couple thousand.
Yeah,
minimum.
like it's a pay jump from like, you know, goes from 7K to 9,500,
right.
Then it goes 9,500 to 11,300. So you know, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but so eventually my stack starts dwindling. The blinds keep going up. We're down to, I believe, 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at them like I'm 11th.
You're about
place.
To make
I'm,
top
I'm
10.
I'm like if I double up here, I could make the final table. I could make a real run.
Right. And then so you can make 40, 50, 60
I can
grand.
Make like I could make
how about 189,000.
I can make like
wins.
Minimum 25 grand.
That's
I can
what
I'm make
saying.
Six figures. So we take a break, I come back. The blinds now are 15,000, 30,000, 30,000 big blind ante. And I have 355K. So I've got 10 bigs. And when you have 10 big blinds, that's go time. That's
right.
Like if you get a hand,
yeah,
you get it in there, and you hope for the best. So I'm in like early position, pocket eights. I don't think twice. Ship it in. Guy to my left. Who's
so you go all in.
I just shipped it in.
Do you stand
I'm,
up?
I don't know if I
chill?
Said all in. I just shipped him in. And the guy to my left, who's a rock, who's it's easier getting money out of Jason than it is getting out of this
right.
guy.
Had you recognized him before?
I hadn't recognized him. I think he's just a recreational player,
yeah.
But he's not playing a lot of hands, and he snap calls me. I'm like, oh, that's a terrible signal.
Right.
He flips over pocket kings.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that's,
that's kings.
I see the pocket kings, then I flash over to the pay board, and I see the payout is like 13,800.
Right.
I'm like, guess I'm getting 13,800. So I look at the flop. I think my reaction when I saw his kings, I slunk back in my seat. You can go to pokernews.com and see the picture. I just had my arms folded, resigned to my fate. Dealer deals out the flop. 6, 7, 8, two clubs.
Jesus.
I spike the eight.
Right.
But, you know, nothing's given at that point.
Right.
Still two cards to come. Bam, in the turn.
King.
He hits the king.
Oh.
So
I
two-outed him. He two outs me. The river was a 10, and I get sent to the rail.
But 14K.
With 13.8.
What do you tip the dealers?
I tipped the dealers. I think it was like
$10.
No, I think I gave him like $5.50, right. $5.25,
so
$5.50.
Walked with 13.
Yeah, walked with 13.
And I
DM'd my guy, Johnny Grooms, the poker director at MGM National Harbor. I said, hey, look, man, this is nothing disparaging the property. I would do this at any casino. I need a safety deposit box because I'm not walking out of here at 3 in the morning
right.
with 15K in chips.
You know there's some knuckleheads waiting for you.
In my pocket. Now, nothing happened, but I would do that at any casino. Like,
right.
I'm not walking around a parking lot at 3 in the morning with, like, 14K in chips
right.
in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I got a safety deposit box. The chips are safely sitting in the poker room at this point.
I'd definitely walk out with it. I'd go to the bank so quick.
So, yeah, it was a great experience.
I
had a great time.
I won it.
Great turnout. A guy named, his name is Matthew Sesso, got heads up with McKeon at the end.
Yeah.
He won 189K. So props to him. And
McKeon
finished second. He got, I think, 115K. Ah. Winner gets 189. Big score.
What's it like to be so freaking wealthy?
If I knew, I would tell you.
Yeah,
I would let you know.
Hey, dude, he grinded away.
I
don't
work. I worked for that money.
Yeah. Plus the other events leading up to it.
Yeah, no, but it was a great time.
All right, we'll come back, open up the Junkie Sports page. Keep it here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.